I still remember as a young kid, still remember about five or six, I had to go to a Buddhist temple with my mum and my grandma at least once a year. They would bring a cooked chicken or a roast pork and some fruits and go to the Buddhist temple. Now, I still remember where it was. It was at Lee. And I googled it and I found it. It's still there. And it still looked like that. How many years ago? Nothing has changed. There's still the field there, the entrance with the two lions. I still remember that. And when the food will be offered and get this blessing from the monk or by the Buddha, I'm not quite sure which one. But as a child, I would be outside just playing in the fields. I don't know what my mum and dad was doing. But when my mum and my dad, I mean when my grandma, had done, at dinner, my mum would always ask me, eat that piece of chicken, or eat that pork roast, and after that, eat the fruits, which they took to the temple. And she would tell me, it's been blessed by Buddha or the monk. And eating the food will protect me. It will bless my health. And most importantly, me as an Asian kid, it will make me smarter and get good grades. I don't know if you've experienced that before or come from a Buddhist background. But you might come across someone who believes eating something will make them stronger. And you receive blessings from the food that you eat, which are being sacrificed to the gods. Well, you know, as a Christian, have you ever thought to yourself, if I just pray more and pray, then you might pass your exams as you cram your studies. Then you might get better marks. And this is a religious way of thinking, is what we are seeing in tonight's passage. In the first verse, we're able to see there's an issue amongst two kinds of groups, two groups of people. The first type is a down-the-line type. The law keepers, or we can call them the legalistics, like Lucy and Rebecca there. These guys just love to keep the law. And most people, and most likely these, in those days, the people were the old Jewish laws. But then there's another side. These are people who choose whatever they do, whatever they want to do. They're the liberal ones. People who hate the restriction of the law. The issue for these two types of people is basically regarding our food sacrificed to idols. That's a real passage. Should Christians eat them or not? But Paul wants to raise a deeper question. A question behind the question. As he says, we all possess knowledge. And further on, he goes and says, but knowledge puffs up while love build up. In verse 2, those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. Paul wants to address people's character. What is true Christian love? Which doesn't puff up on itself. Christian character is defined by loving others, which is true knowledge. Are you willing to apply the knowledge to your heart and act on it for the sake of others? Because that's the loving thing to do. Because true knowledge is not led by pride. It's not being arrogant. It's not being a big-headed. But it's humility. Putting others' needs first. loving others, or serving them. Sacrificial love. And by doing that, by doing this, you're acting in God's love. And this demonstrates that you know God and that God knows you. And that's what God is looking for in the first ring. For whoever loves God is known by God. Because it shows you're willing to act in love to others just as God has loved you. And one way to love God is to love others as well. And didn't Jesus say that? In fact, he commands us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. In Mark chapter 12, or in Matthew chapter 22, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first greatest commandment. And in verse 39, what does it say? And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then continues to explain the food sacrificed to idols in verse 4. In fact, the food itself doesn't mean anything. But it's what people think about the food being sacrificed to idols is the major problem here. I want my grandma and my mum have thought about getting the food blessed on the monks. I know it's not about food being sacrificed, but once again, it's about food being blessed by an idol. And the issue in the Corinthian church is that there are two different parties, two different groups who are disagreeing about the food. In verse 5 to 6, Paul reminds the Christians there's only one God, who is the Father, and there's only one true God. And there's only one Lord, who is Jesus the Messiah, and he is the one true Lord. Jesus Christ's identity has the same definition of God, the Lord of Israel. This can be seen in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In which Lord and God are both referred to as the same God. So Lord and God can be interchangeable, and means Jesus is God and God is Lord. But in verse 7, it tells us, but not everyone possesses this knowledge. So the issue is still the sacrificing of food. Paul comes with the issue of the pagan world, which doesn't see the Christian views of verse 6 and 8. And there are some Christians who are still stuck with this pagan view right now in Corinthians. That eating certain food may make them closer or less closer to God. Or idols are also another God. God isn't the only God around. And the third point is that Paul wants the brothers and sisters in Christ to serve each other. Basically, not to use your freedom, your rights, your spiritual understanding to please yourself, which is not wrong. Not to please yourself and consider the weaker brother and sister. Not doing anything so the brother or sister might have doubts or stumble them in any way or cause their faith to weaken. This is the loving thing to do. So in this scenario, it seems to be telling us not to judge a weaker brother or sister in Christ. But doesn't this seem to be contradicting what we learned from last week about judging others? Last week in chapter 5, we talked about, I asked the question, should we judge others? Should we judge others? And the answer was, no and yes. And we found out why we should judge others. Why yes? And yesterday we heard it from the leaders training. Judging or rebuking sin is the right thing to do. We have to judge our brothers and sisters who proclaim Christ as the Lord and Savior. Saying they are believers. Saying they are Christians. Saying they belong to God's community. But they do not bear fruit. And live out an unrepentant life. They do not mourn for the ungodliness and the sinful behavior, the wickedness. In fact, having the truth of the gospel. So judging them is not a wrong thing to do. And furthermore, we are told to give them over to Satan in chapter 5, verse 5. So they can see what they are doing. In fact, it's a wicked thing. And the most loving thing to do is to call them out. Is to call them out. To bring them back to repentance. To save their soul. As they wake up from their sin. To bring them back into God's eternal kingdom. That's our aim when we judge people for their sins. So from last week's scenario, we should judge our brothers and sisters in Christ if it impacts the relationship with God. If it impacts their ungodliness. If it's a gospel issue. However, this week's passage in chapter 8, we should not judge our weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's have a look at why we should not judge others. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 14. Once again, Paul had wrote this letter. And it's about food, once again. And again, there's two different views. The church in Rome were concerned about whether church members should eat meat or eat vegetables. And I found out in my community group retreat that John loves his meat. And I found that Andy is a vegetarian. So do they fight about it? Do they judge each other? And Paul tells them they are judging and distrusting each other in Rome, in chapter 14. Paul told the group they need to respect each other and to urge each other to recognize there's someone higher than themselves. And this person who's higher than them is no other than Christ, who is their Lord. And it's He who will judge each person. But however, Jesus has accepted them all into His kingdom. So why should they be fighting? Both groups should instead serve each other in love. Serving one another. Now at the end of verse 8, it says, we all belong to the Lord, and therefore we should be unified. And furthermore, Paul says in verse 10, why do you judge your brothers and sisters, or why do you treat them with contempt, as we all stand before God's judgment seat? You see, that Paul is upset with the fighting among God's people, and how they treat each other. How they treat each other in God's family. In the end, it was a petty fight. It wasn't a gospel issue. Is that a matter you would die on the hill for? That's what Paul is asking them. And with this, Paul reminds them in verse 13. It's up there. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, Make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in the way of a brother and sister. And Paul explains what really matters is to act in love in verse 15. To love the weak. To love God's kingdom, which really matters. And that involves serving others. Serving Christ, which is more pleasing to God, in verse 17. And that's something you all should be dying for. When I was in South Africa, one of the guys I knew who loved his rugby. Sorry, Jono, we might have been a bit All Blacks last night. And when the game is shown on TV, he would invite me to a pub and watch it. It seems pretty harmless, right? I mean, some of you guys would go to a pub to watch basketball or UFC fight or boxing match. But we were watching the rugby game. And then he asked me, as he was worried about other people in bubble crunch. I thought that was strange. And then he goes on and he tells me that, because I knew and he knew that there's a lot of people who love watching rugby at a bubble cottage, especially those African brothers. So I asked him to explain more, but why are you worrying about it? And the issue is, we didn't want to ask them was because we were going to a pub to watch rugby. We're going to a pub to watch a rugby game. But in African culture, going to a pub is a no-no. It means drinking and getting drunk. That never looks good, right? It means getting drunk, violent, punch-ups, you name it, a lot of things happen. So if we ask them, we're basically a stumbling block. And sometimes he won't even go and watch a rugby game if he sensed people knew about it back in college. This brother didn't want to stumble others. And yes, he had the right to go every weekend to watch his rugby game. In fact, no one should judge him for it. I mean, he even had the right to drink a beer or two. But he chose not for the sake of the gospel. And for his brothers in Christ. For his brothers in Bible college. And he understood verse 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, when you sin against them in this way, and with their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Don't worry, Jordan. I know Andy is not weak conscious. He knows it's okay to eat meat. And most of you guys too. But here's the thing. My friend basically was not thinking of his right, of his freedom, not thinking about himself. Was more concerned others around him, not to stumble them, because he loved his brother. He wanted to encourage them. He valued God's kingdom over his rights. He valued his brother. He valued his brothers in Christ. Faith over his freedom to do whatever he wanted to do and he can do. And this means not even going to a pub to watch a footy game. See, this is Christian living. This is Christian living. Acting in what you know and playing in your life. Not for his sake, but for the sake of the gospel. This even means stopping something he had the right to do. we see that true Christian love doesn't puff up on itself. Christian character is defined by loving others, which is true knowledge. Are you willing to apply the knowledge to your heart, to act on it for the sake of others? Because that's the love we need to do. Because true knowledge is not led by pride. It's not being arrogant. It's not being a big-headed. But it's community. Putting others' needs first. And loving others by serving them. Just because we have a freedom in Christ, we're not to be careless in exercising that. Even we have a right to do it. But more importantly, when we are about to exercise our freedom, what's the loving thing to do for others? Because we are reminded of that the gospel and identity is in Christ, which change our sinful nature of pleasing ourselves, only looking out for our own desires, only making sure our needs are cared for. But we have Christ now. But the gospel teaches us we have to put Christ in the center, in God's church in the center, which is on the right hand side. This might mean even putting ourselves, our own rights, our freedom for the sake of the gospel and God's kingdom. Let me tell you a story. One day, a young guy was wearing a singlet and flip-flops. And no, it's not Alan. And no, it's not from the website, the Babylon Bee article, which was posted this week. Talk about what she wear to church. A handy guy for each denomination. Wasn't that? So this young guy who entered church, but he was stopped by an older person. An older man. An older man goes to this young man. I don't want to ever see you wearing these kind of clothes when you enter church again. Pretty firm. In your face. The young man told the old man, this is what he replied. Why can't I? Then the young man continued on with another comment. Do you think that for me wearing these clothes, singlet, shorts, and flip-flops, or for me to wear a tie, a suit, black leather, shoes, it's going to affect my spiritual walk? It's basically saying, does God care what I wear when I worship Him? So who's wrong? Who's right? Well, what did we just read tonight? How do you think Paul would handle this issue? So let me give you some examples that might be facing Bill and right now, 4 p.m. tonight, that you might encounter one day, in the future, or even now. Let's start with a pretty big topic. I always get calls on this. On drinking alcohol. Drinking alcohol, is it right or wrong? Let me tell you, it is permissible unless it's stumbling a block to a Christian or a non-Christian who you're drinking with. So we should be denying our rights to drink alcohol if we're stumbling others. And you're not sure if our brother has a weakness in that, just don't do it. Better be safe than sorry. And for the sake of the weaker brother and sister, and for the sake of the gospel. Playing card games. I know, like Big Two, or some scoring system. Or let's say playing Mahjong. I know some of you guys like playing Mahjong here. It's a Chinese tile game. If you grew up from a Chinese background. Even the people who are playing these games, there's no money involved. Any bragging rights for the winner. But coming from a Chinese background, like your parents, who sees Mahjong as gambling. And probably in their past, they have met people who have lost everything because of Mahjong. Selling their house, selling everything. What should you do? You shouldn't play it. Because you don't want to stumble them. You don't want to stumble the parents. And once again, denying your rights for the sake of the gospel. And last of all, how we dress and what we wear. I just say, not having much on. Once again, it's your right and freedom. What you want to wear, how you want to dress. But it could be a stumbling block for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And once again, it's for you to deny yourself for the sake of the gospel. Just gave three examples, simple examples, and there's a lot more out there. But I think you understand. Hopefully you get the point. The freedom we do have does not always mean we need to exercise it. We may need to restrict our freedoms if it's something others. Because it's the most loving thing, a loving thing we can do for another brother and sister in Christ. This is the same principle from the story I have just told you regarding the younger man and the older man. But more important, we do this because we have to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, the church. Because glorifying God is more important than our rights. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have freed us from our sins. So let us be people that use our rights and freedom in a manner where wicked Christians won't stumble for the sake of the gospel. I want to pray all this in Jesus' name.